On today's playbook, Coach P welcomes Jimmy Parsons, a top producer and branch manager at Guild Mortgage, who closed more than $50 million in production in 2024. Based in the Southeast, Jimmy is dedicated to helping homeowners and serves as the leadership head coach with Elevate. Hear about his start, his business philosophies, and the mindset shifts that changed everything. You'll also learn about his game-changing Hammer 100, a breakthrough approach to overcoming limiting beliefs and unlocking your potential. Elevate your business, starting now.
I am so excited to have you here today. You are one of our head coaches for our Elevate coaching program here at Guild Mortgage. You've been a coach in our program. You're still coaching, providing leadership. You've been here with Guild for 9 years,
right,
and been a President's Club winner, Chairman's Club winner. So you have really made a mark here at Guild. And so I want to just open this up with, you know, everybody always wants to know, like, how did you get in the mortgage industry?
Right. You know, the mortgage industry, you don't graduate college and go, "Ooh, I want to be in the mortgage industry," right?
It
just kind of pulls in all of us that can't find a job. And, you know, that was me graduating college. I couldn't find a job. And so the very first job I had was working at a company called Colonial Mortgage in Alabama on the servicing side. So I was a bankruptcy clerk, you know, making $12,000 a year. And I was stoked. You know, this was back in 1994, 95. And so my very first job was just pushing papers on the servicing side.
You see that a lot with loan officers. They come in different areas of the banking industry and then somehow kind of get sucked in. I, on the other hand, was a college basketball coach thinking I was going to go work for Nike, and had a 10-minute interview, and all of a sudden I was going to be a mortgage lender, mortgage broker. So it's so interesting how we kind of get into this business.
Everybody's got a really cool story about how they got into it, why they got into it. You know, it attracts some very cool people who, you know, just didn't go I want to be an accountant. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a, you know, a doctor and all that. It's a very, it's an individual who is driven, excited, but needs a break, right? When they start, they need something new. And so we have all kinds that join the mortgage business. So it's great that everybody has a cool story.
So you did that for a while, and then from there, how did you actually get in and start doing mortgages?
Yeah. So, you know, from there, I was a very driven kid, and I was working as a clerk during the day, going to school at night, getting my MBA. And once I did that, so it took me about 2 years to do that, I went straight to the president of the mortgage company, and I said, "Hey, I got my MBA now. I really like this company, but I want bigger and better things. What does this company have to offer for somebody like me? I would like to seek an opportunity here before I go out, you know, move to North Carolina and join one of the big banks." And the president of the mortgage company at that time was also a former president of the National Mortgage Bankers Association. So he was a big, big name, knew everything. And he just said, "You know what? I'm going to mentor you. I want to teach you everything about the business." So for about a year, I went around and just was kind of like his protege, right? I learned things from secondary marketing to underwriting to just flow of files, post-close, I mean, servicing side, retail side. It was really, it gave me a really broad understanding, you know, at a very young age. And then I'm getting all excited thinking I'm going to be the next president of this mortgage company or, you know, that kind of thing. A little bit of a bust happened during that time and the mortgage company had to sell. So it was my first experience of kind of a bust cycle, you know, in our industry. And I got really angry, reacted kind of crazy, and left the mortgage business for a little bit to try to sell cars online, right? A little bit ahead of my time. But I failed miserably. And so I had to go back into Colonial Bank on the retail side with my tails between my legs, saying, hey, please, can I have a job back? You know, that kind of thing. And I got introduced to the retail side of it at that.
Well, we learn more, right, from our failures than our success.
Right.
So what do you think, you know, when you went out there, because you took a chance, you know, you went out of the mortgage industry of something you knew and wanted to go into car sales. And you were also forward thinking, like you were already thinking about doing this on the internet. Like, what did you learn from that experience? From that, I mean, you called failure. What did you learn from that experience?
Well, you know, I had a lot of dreams thinking running my own business was going to be easier, right? What I learned from that is I had no clue about the auto industry. I could sell. I learned that I could sell, and I had to sell, right? But I had no clue about the inner workings of the auto industry. We had a hard time getting product to sell, all right? So, but what I did learn about myself during that time is a lot of resiliency, and that I'm actually a pretty good salesperson. I'm good with people. I had to sell. And so, after doing that for a couple of years, I wasn't afraid of operating without a net. So, right. So you have to be like that if you're going to be in the mortgage business, as a loan officer. So it was a tough time. I learned a lot about resiliency and getting through a downturn. Right. And we have to get through downturns in this business because it's a cyclical business. It really is a cyclical business. We have our ups and our booms, and then we have our busts.
I know if there's anything we can learn, it's like what goes up comes down, what goes down comes up. Right. Sure. And it's just that timing and being patient and being disciplined, waiting for that next cycle to happen and not getting too comfortable. Right.
Right. Right.
I think that was hard for a lot of loan officers who we just went through, you know, 19, 20, and 21, where it was pouring in rain or pouring in loans like rain.
Yes.
And then boom, it just stopped. Right.
I remember one of my other mentors in the business, we were having a good run at it. You know, this is the early 2000s. And he was like, hey, just because things are going good right now, you know, don't like move your lifestyle up to the way it is now, because this doesn't last forever. It was great advice. And I try to give advice to people I coach through Elevate. It's for the, you know, the newer loan officers. I remember in 2020, I pulled my two branches into a meeting and I started like, it was not a meeting about tactics and sales. It was a meeting about keep your money. Right? Keep your money, because this is not how it's always going to be. And I think that allowed my team, they all listened. And so they're still here. You know, it didn't, when the downturn came, they were all good. But, you know, that was great advice back then that I was able to deliver. Don't get too comfortable. And don't get too comfortable in the bust either, on the downturns, because
right.
This too shall pass, right?
Or it's like, I think in the downturns, it's like, don't make excuses for not doing the things that you need to do. Oh my gosh, there's tons to do right now. I mean, this is a great opportunity, right? To be building relationships and getting ready for when it turns, right?
Right. And I think we in this business, particularly when we're in a downturn, we cannot concentrate on immediate gratification, right? It's a long play. It's like a stock market's down and you're buying a bunch of good companies when they're cheap, because eventually they, you know, if they're the right companies, they're going to go up. It's the same philosophy to me when we have a downturn like 2023 was, and really we're kind of still in it. That's when you accumulate relationships. You might not see that immediate gratification, but every single call you make, a one-on-one you have, every single event you do or lunch and learn you have, is going to provide returns down the road when they're able to pick their business up. The worst thing you could do in a downturn is nothing and wait for things to get better. And I saw so many people do that. Now, my competition, I was very happy that they did that, right? Because I was just able to pick off, you know, business from them and market share. It was discouraging for me for people that, you know, I coached or led, and I wanted to encourage them, stick with it. You're going to get, you know, the rewards, but you cannot give up. You have to prospect. I think it was one of the things we talked about on Elevate during that time. Prospect in the silence. It's not an immediate gratification thing in our business. You're going to get rewarded, but you can never give up. You can never stop prospecting. And so I think those that continue with that mindset are going to be successful in whether it's a boom or a bust, for sure.
And I think you're right. I mean, it's about our mindset, and it's so easy to get down when things aren't going our way, right? I think about that when I was coaching, when we were having losing seasons, right? Like, we still have to get to the next game, and we have to look at the small improvements that we have, right? And sometimes those are the wins, right? Yeah. So even if it's, you know, I finished my prospecting, I did it. You know what I mean? Celebrate it, because so many people were not doing anything, right? What is something you're doing right now? Right now, you know, we're, you know, in our third year of some challenging market. Right. You know, like, what are some tactics that you're doing right now that you could share?
First and foremost, my prospecting, you know, is consistent. It is always on. It is the primary thing that's going. So prospecting, texting, emailing, calling, face-to-faces are so important right now. We do event monthly events. All of those foundational disciplines, you got to get after it. And if you have to be creative to get after it, to make yourself get after it, you have to do it. I have to be in a power hour. I got to be in a power hour every day with some other like-minded individuals, because that's going to hold me accountable. You know, I have to be among other individuals who are also willing to get after it, because those are going to, you know, force me to move in the days that maybe I'm not feeling it. I think it's critical. It was critical in 2023, 2024, and it will be this year, that we get after it in our disciplines. We cannot let up. But the mindset is, get it done. You're growing, because in 26, 27, 28, there is a wave coming, and you want to be positioned properly. So with that side of mindset, I'm just continually prospecting. So there's nothing new under the sun. Now, I might add my own twist to it, right? Texting people. I've got permission texting with my realtors. So I text 170 realtors every single day. Calling efforts are pretty intense. But I love the one-on-ones. I love it. So right now, I have an initiative where I'm trying to get one-on-ones with as many of my realtor partners and new partners as possible to understand what their needs are, what they're thinking, what they are wanting to accomplish, and then come back to them with some solutions to help them. So it's a mindset of, how can I help you? What are your goals? And what are some ideas I can bring to the table, or tools I can bring to the table to help you meet your goals, right? So it's more of a giver instead of, can you send me a referral? Now, I'll ask for a referral. I'm not afraid to do that. But I want them to view me as, this is my business partner, right? And he's going to help me sell 20 homes this year. So.
Yeah, you're acting as a coach, right?
Right.
You know, that's, I think we know real estate agents are struggling as much as we are, you know, with the market, with rates, with the psychology of people. And so teaming up with them and helping them and coming up with solutions is the best thing that we can do in the field right now.
It is. And then the second piece, Paula, is, I think, consultations with clients is very important right now. especially if you're getting rate shopped a lot. I think really honing in on and improving your consultation with your client. I almost force them to have one with me. But it's the same approach. I'm going to go in to educate. I like to educate. And I think the younger generation loves it. I'll educate them on how rates are priced the way they're priced and what points mean. And, you know, but I ask a lot of questions to get an understanding of their needs. I never assume that all they want to, you know, what their goal is. I had a client the other day. Their goal was simply to know that if they bought this house, they were military. If they bought this house and got transferred out in a year, what did that do their eligibility? Right? They weren't, you can't assume that somebody's buying a house to be there for 5 years and they're 10 years and that's the biggest thing on their mind is their payment. You have to ask a lot of second, third level questions. But a consultation with understanding needs, education of some sort, and providing some solutions, it's great. It's great. It locks you into that client. They really won't shop you after you can, you know, meet with them face to face like that. So I've been working on that, on ways to improve it, enhance it, and to make it almost like a Disneyland experience when the client meets with me.
I mean, in our business, I know people think technology, you know, we have texting and all different things that, but it doesn't replace building the trust with face to face, like people seeing you, right? I mean, if we're just texting people, it's easy for them to say, "Hey, Jimmy, you know what? I'm going to go with another lender." It's much more difficult if they see you, build trust with you, you educate them. That's how we can retain our clients, right? Because it's a very competitive market right now. And people, loan officers out there are willing to do loans for a lot less money.
They are.
To get loans in.
And if you're gonna set yourself or brand yourself up as, you know, I'm the best in my market because I give advice, I'm somebody that's gonna help you meet your goals. You can't give advice over text and email, right? You gotta sit there, you gotta talk to somebody. It's better to look them in the eye, bring them into the office, get them on a Zoom, ask them a lot of questions, and help analyze their goals, right? So it's a little bit different role. But I think that's the future. Anybody can go online, get a rate quote, and talk to a spreadsheet. But they may not get the best advice that way. And so we have to present ourselves as an advisor. And to do that, you got to get in front of them, right? You can't give advice over email.
And you constantly have to be learning, right?
Right. That's right. Constantly.
So the biggest reason I've got you on this call is I want to talk about the Hammer 100.
Yeah.
As we were, you know, coaching our loan officers, the best thing I love about Elevate is the creativity that we get from all of you coaches that we come together and collaborate. You came to me with this Hammer 100 idea, and I want to talk about that. How did this come about? What is the Hammer 100, Jimmy?
All right. So first, let me say something real quick before we get into that. You're right. The Elevate team, the coaches, that under your leadership, some of the very best people in the industry I've ever been around. And the creative ideas that come out of Elevate are some of the best in the mortgage industry. I just got to say that. So thank you for being our leader and allowing us to present these kind of ideas to you and run them with it. So we have some of the most amazing brains at the tip of spear. At the best mortgage company it's the best of the best. And some of the very best ideas in the industry come out of this group.
We were talking before you get into it, it's just like about how lucky we are to surround ourselves with the best, right? Yeah. Because that's what keeps you moving and that keeps you focused and you continue to want to grow. So this idea was very intriguing to me. When you first told me about it, I was like, wow. So let's dig into that. So
yeah, let's talk about
how did you come up with this? What is this anyway? What is Hammer 100?
So the Hammer 100, if you could just kind of like bumper sticker it, I would just say it's an endurance challenge for mortgage professionals. All right. So it was, I guess, in the middle of 2024. And like I said earlier, I was not convinced that we were out of the woods, that I was committed. We still had to get after it. But what was something that was going to, number one, push me to my limits and help me endure, you know, the business for, let's say, another year, and then something I can learn? And so I was drawn to a book. And the title of the book was Endure by Cameron Haynes. I got a copy of it right here. So
copy of it.
This was the book. You see, it says Keep Hammering, and it has nothing to do with the mortgage business, but it's a really cool story about this guy who, you know, had a rough life and pushed himself beyond his limits. It led him to also venture into ultra marathons, ultra running. And there's a chapter in there where he pushed himself to run a 100-mile race. In that chapter, he says that David Goggins says, you know, most people, when they're at that point of exhaustion where they're ready to quit at something, whether it's physical or mental, they're truly only about 40% of their potential. There's a whole nother 60% of what they can accomplish past that breaking point. And I was like, now, I've never heard that before. I wonder if that's true. That's really cool. So if I understand it, anytime that I'm working out or doing something and I get that little voice inside my mind that says, all right, it's time to stop. Are you telling me I got 60% more to go? Is that a real thing? Now, I'm reading through this and I'm saying, no way I'm ever going to run a 100-mile race. I'm never doing that. That's just not my thing. I'm not motivated.
Me neither. Not doing it.
There are some people
There's no way.
Yeah, but I'm not. Being a coach, being a leader, and just being somebody that needs to produce, how can I incorporate that philosophy into my world of sales, and can I test it? So I got to thinking, I like the number 100. So I wonder if I could do 100 asks for a referral. So that's 100 conversations where I ask for a referral in one business day. And I was like, okay, that might be hard.
Jimmy, let's reiterate this, because this is interesting. I mean, a lot of people want to say 100 calls, but this is 100 conversations.
Yes.
One day. You have to actually talk to people.
I wanted to test that philosophy. Like, all right. So number one, I was thinking, is that even physically possible? I did the math and I'd be like, okay, I guess 10 conversations every hour for 10 hours would get it done. That's possible to do. So it's a possible thing. And it seems hard as hell. So I called my buddy, and I'll give him a shout out, Adam Snable. He's within Guild here. And I ran the idea behind him. He goes, man, that's crazy. I'm totally in. So then
totally in. Then,
yeah, I'm totally in. He's always up for my crazy ideas. So Adam, I said, let's get our loan officers in, and I'm also going to get some of my Elevate students in and a couple other people. And so we grabbed about 10 to 15 of us, and we blocked off a day, and we challenged ourselves to a Hammer 100. I said, that's a great name. It's, you know, the book's called Keep Hammering, Hammer 100. And about half of us did it the very first go around. And it was intense and it was hard and it was challenging. And yes, you get to that breaking point where you want to quit. Mm-hmm. And then you discover what you can accomplish after that breaking point. And so the experiment was cool. I learned a lot after that first time, but it was perfect amount of stress and intensity that not everybody can do it. It was the perfect amount of you're going to hit a breaking point at some point where you want to quit and then see what happens afterwards. See what happens after you hit that limitation for yourself. And that's where the growth occurs. And
where
so,
was, like, by the way, where was Jimmy, where was your limitation though? Like at what point when you did it the first time, did you start getting, your mind started going, oh, this is hard. I don't know if I want to keep doing this.
So for me, about the 60th conversation, when I realized it was, you know, late in the afternoon, I had 40 more conversations to go. The first half of it, it's all fun, you know, you're great, you know, but then you're like, I'm tired, I've done enough. I mean, that's enough. You know, you start getting this little voice inside your mind that says, you starts giving you all excuses, which is the whole experiment is, once you, the closer you get to suffering and tiredness, that little voice inside your head starts convincing you it's time to give up. And what the hammer's sole goal is to be able to learn to identify that voice and shut that voice down. The voice that tells you, you can't call this person. The voice that tells you, they'll never want to meet with you. You know, that little negative voice, or it's time, you've done enough, it's time to stop. Through this experiment, what the goal is, I want loan officers to understand, is shut that voice down, right? You're never going to grow. You're never going to get to your potential if you continue to listen to that little voice. And so the hammer, it's such an intense program, that voice is going to come up, and you're going, if you want to complete it, you're going to have to shut that voice down and listen to another voice that says, I'm doing it anyway, and I'm going to see what happens, and I'm not scared, and I'm going to call that person immediately without even talking myself out of it. And hell yeah, I'm going to do 100, even if it takes me till 9 o'clock at night.
Which is what happened with me.
This is what happened with you. That's right.
That's what happened to me. Like we were doing it with Elevate, all the students, and we were on our Teams call, and I made a goal. It was right before Christmas, and I said, okay, if I could get all my appointments set in January, I'm going to feel really good. Besides, can I get a lead? Can I talk to people? So I had one appointment that lasted 2 hours that day. So when Jimmy talks about this, you've got to clear your calendar, right?
Yeah.
You've got to clear your calendar so you have nothing that comes in, because I went and did my appointment. It was 2 hours. I came back and I still had a lot of calls to go. And it was 7:30 at night. And I was in my head going, boundaries. I don't know if I should be calling people after 7:30.
That voice starts appearing.
The voice started appearing, and I put something in Teams that I was probably going out. And then one of our coaches, Tucker, said something. And I can't remember exactly what he said in that Teams chat, but I think it was
something like, it's okay for you to quit, Paula, but I'm staying until I get it done.
Yeah. Like, I was like,
oh, yeah, wait a minute now.
Wait a minute. I'm here with you, Tucker. I'm not leaving. And so I had to, you know, readjust. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to call my neighbors, my friends, my family. And what I learned through that, Jim, is that we don't talk to those people and remind them of what we do. And by me doing that, one of my neighbors, he said, why don't you come in and do this for my employees? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I think, you know, it's a good reminder that it's not just calling our agents. We need to call people we know and remind them of what we do.
Right.
Because we don't know how they can help us in our business.
Right, right. And you would have never made that call.
If you didn't listen to that voice,
because your voice is going to tell you, I've done enough tonight. I've done, it's late.
Got all my appointments.
Yeah. And sure enough, you made it and look what happened. So that's great. And that's the goal. I think that's the core of the hammer, is to learn to break through little limitations we put on ourselves. So that we can grow and realize a little more greatness, realize that we can do more than we think. And I would say most everybody that's ever gone through a hammer has experienced that. From a mindset preparation, you got to go into it with an understanding of, I'm excited, I'm going to do this, I'm going to win. I'm going to accomplish this no matter what. I'm not going to quit when it gets hard. You know, I'm excited. You know, you have to go in with a positive approach. If you go into it with a negative approach of, I'm so scared, I just don't know, they're forcing me, then you're going to have a bad experience, right? You got to be pumped, excited, and ready and positive. Then you know, you got to be prepared with your list, right? We have an amazing CRM here through Salesforce. So it's very simple for me to pull and organize my list, realtor cell phones in separate groupings and past clients by rate or whatever I want to do at my fingertips. And so it's pretty amazing. And, you know, and then if you can block out your day, if you can remain focused and have a good, simple script that you know that you've prepared that's going to go through 5 or 6 minutes, then you'll be able to accomplish it. But you're going to generate a lot of business too. I mean, that's the byproduct of it. Yes, the goal is to overcome some fears and limitations and just realize some potential that you didn't know you had, but you're also going to generate, you know, a ton of business because you have to ask for a referral or an appointment. It's a business call, and it's a business call with the mindset of, all right, I'm going to ask this person if they know anybody that they can send me, right?
Yeah, it's intentional, right? So these are intentional calls that we're making, whether you're wanting to get appointments, your face-to-face appointments, whether you're asking for a referral, or you're talking to a past client that you may discover they need you. We only grow when we get uncomfortable, right? That's when we grow. And this is a absolute exercise to get uncomfortable. And like you said, what I loved what you said about, you know, it's your mind, right? What do you do when your mind tells you you want to quit? And I think the biggest thing is to have the accountability. Like when you called your friend and said, hey, what do you think about this? And then when you decided to try it, you didn't try it by yourself. You got a group together, right?
Yeah, that's important. It's very important. I would say, you know, that's why, you know, the hammers are done in a group setting. So over a Teams or a Zoom call or everybody's in there together and, you know, your microphone's on mute and you have this little chat box, right? And so as a leader, when I take people through a hammer every hour, I'm encouraging them. Let's pace. Have you talked to your 10? You know, where are you in total? Are you on pace? Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. And I'll stay in there with them. Now, I am going to say this. It's easier for me to complete a hammer 100 than for, say, let's somebody that doesn't text 160 realtors every day, right? There are a lot of people who didn't get there the first time, but they learned so much from it. And they're like, now what I want to do in my business is get in a position to where when I call, somebody answers it, right? That takes a little time. Even though you don't finish a hammer, they come away with the same lessons learned, but then they come away with, oh, this is what I'm going to do next. This is how I'm going to approach my business next. I've got to add this many people. I got to do that. I got to be more familiar with them. So when I call, they just don't look at it and not answer it. They actually want to pick up my phone call. So, but it is done in a group setting, Paula. It is because there's accountability there. There's encouragement there. There's lessons learned within that. And so when I do one, I'll hold a group call, like a pre-preparation call with those participants. Then we do the hammer. And then we do a lessons learned. And those lessons learned calls are some of the coolest things, coolest group calls I think I've ever been a part in my career.
Yeah, it's the ahas. And it builds that confidence. I agree with you. Like, not everybody's going to be able to finish, right? But whatever you do was way more than you've ever done before, right? Yeah. So, Jimmy, as we finish up here, what's the one thing you want people to take away from this conversation we've had today? What is the one thing that you want them to leave with?
Well, I will say this. Every person listening to this or watching this needs to understand you have so much more than you think. And you can accomplish so much more than you think. And the only person limiting is yourself. The only limits you have on your greatness are the internal limitations you put on yourself, right? Everybody has so much potential to be great, to reach their goals, to be highly successful. And the only thing stopping them is that little voice inside your head telling you can't do it. And so if we can figure out a way to shut that little voice down, and it may be an experiment like a Hammer 100 that helps you do that, or it may just be coaching through Elevate that helps you do that. Breaking through your own personal limitations, pushing yourself out past those, like you said, Paula, is where growth occurs. So I would encourage everybody to, and the thing about it is, Paula, you can't do that on your own, right? Get in a group, get in with Elevate, get in a Hammer to be able to learn how to realize your potential. And the only way to do that is to push yourself past those limitations.
Right. Just like working out, right, Jimmy?
That's right.
If you say you're going to go to the gym by yourself, you know, you're like, I don't think I want to do it today. But if you know, if I know Jimmy's going to be there and I got to show up, I'm going to show up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're depending on me.
Especially like if, you know, if you're working out by yourself, we all have done this. The moment your muscles start to get a little bit tired, you start breathing, you're like, okay, that's enough reps. But if you got a coach there with you that's saying, no, five more, six more, seven more, guess what? Number one, you're going to do those seven more and you wouldn't have done it without somebody pushing you. And it's in those seven more is where you grow. 100%. Exactly. Same concept.
Well, thank you so much, Jimmy. I loved having you on. You are one of the people that's in my locker room.
Yes.
I look at you and I love what you're doing and your leadership. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. And let's get after it.
Thanks for listening to Elevate Your Business, a podcast from Elevate, the internal coaching program at Go Mortgage. Glad you could be here for today's playbook. If you want to check us out, head over to gilmortgage.com and click About Us to find Elevate Coaching. Have a question or want to keep the play going? Visit us and send a DM on Instagram at Elevate Mortgage Coaching, or leave a comment for us on YouTube. We're posting extra content, behind-the-scenes action, and everything you need to stay in the mortgage game. On Elevate Your Business, we share real stories and strategies from top producers to help you move forward. So ask yourself, what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate.
Guild Mortgage Company, NMLS identification number 3274, NMLSconsumerAccess.org. Equal housing opportunity, equal opportunity employer. Arizona banking license number 0018883. Licensed by the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. Massachusetts mortgage lender and broker license number MC3274. Licensed by the Mississippi Department of Banking and Consumer Finance. Licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Nevada mortgage company number 1141. Oregon mortgage lending number ML176. Rhode Island licensed lender and third-party loan servicer. Guild Mortgage Company, 5887 Copley Drive, San Diego, California, 92111. For licensing, visit guildmortgage.com/licensing. All loans subject to underwriter approval. Terms and conditions apply. Subject to change without notice. Elevate is an internal Guild Mortgage Company coaching program and not a separate entity. Podcast content is provided for informational purposes and based on publicly available materials or tactics used in the industry. The views, strategies, or opinions discussed do not necessarily represent those of Guild Mortgage Company or its affiliates. Intended for mortgage industry professionals only.
Paula Nerschel, NMLS, number 001883. Jimmy Parsons, NMLS, number 415554. Thank you for joining us on Elevate Your Business, a podcast for mortgage professionals brought to you by Elevate, the internal coaching program at Guild Mortgage.